Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We love to tell stories, especially around the holidays when families get together. There's always stories shared, and sometimes those stories go back years and years and years, and sometimes they're just recent stories, but there's typically a character in the story, one of the relatives who did something that will never be forgotten and that will be told for ages and ages. And that story, well, let's just say that story gets embellished over the years, and what was once a simple story becomes something much more extravagant. And I'm sure that there were stories told around your holiday tables as families gathered, memories shared. We are a people who love to tell and hear stories. It's sort of how we make meaning out of a lot of things, by telling stories, by sharing history, by even sometimes the embarrassing events of our lives or the tragic events of our lives. It's in telling the stories, we often find healing in telling stories, connection with one another in telling stories. Scripture is full of stories, stories of people and things and events. And the Christmas season is probably some of the most familiar stories, as we heard over Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and leading up to it, all of the different stories of Jesus' birth, of Mary, of Joseph, of the angels, of the shepherds, all very familiar stories. And today we tell the story. And it's a story of people who, in the time that Jesus was born, lived with the hope in the Messiah, the hope in the Christ. Simeon, we hear his story, and Anna, we hear just a little bit of Anna's story. And we hear the story of Mary and Joseph, who are very devout. They went up to the temple according to the law. They were doing everything according to how it was supposed to be done. Now, I don't know how many people Mary shared her birth story with, but it seems to me that when somebody is either pregnant or had just given birth, that seems to be the most important story to be shared among people. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand, but how many of you moms have told the story of your children's births over and over and over again, maybe to some who wanted to listen, and maybe some didn't necessarily want to hear the whole detailed event, but it's a common story that we share. Well, Mary and Joseph, we hear the birth story during Christmas, and here in today's reading, Mary and Joseph make their way up to the temple to give the sacrifice that was required by the law. We don't know how many people asked to hear the birth story of Jesus. It doesn't share how many other women she talked to, because in Jesus' time, and actually up until pretty recently, the church was always divided, women on one side and men on the other. So when Mary and Joseph went up to the temple to give the sacrifice, Mary would have gone to one side, Joseph would have gone to the other, and they wouldn't have crossed paths until the sacrifice was done. So here's Mary with a little one, and I'm sure she shared the story with people. So to tell the story of Mary and Joseph, Simeon and Anna, is to tell the story of devout, righteous people who believed in the Messiah, who expected the Christ, the Savior. They were waiting for him. To tell the story of Simeon is to sing part of our liturgy. How many of you recognize that in the gospel reading today? In our liturgy, we call it the Nunc Dimittis, and it is usually sung typically after communion, and it is the dismissal song. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. We sing it, we speak it at funerals. It's the story of one who had waited and waited and waited his entire life to see salvation, to see Christ, to see the baby Jesus. Now it says he was in the Spirit in the temple. The Holy Spirit guided him. He wouldn't have recognized Jesus as the Savior without the Holy Spirit being there with him. And when he does, what is the first thing that this devout, righteous, following the law guy does? He takes that baby up in his arms and begins to sing. Now, if that were to have happened to you at Fred Meyer, you walk in with your newborn and some guy comes up, grabs the baby and starts singing, you would have called the police. Times were different then. He begins to sing of the salvation that he has finally seen. And his first words, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. He was an old guy. I don't know how old he was. It just says that he was a devout man, righteous. He could have been really old. He could have been not as old. Who knows? But he knew that from that time, he was going to be at peace. He finally saw what he was expecting to see. The Lord guided his eyes to that little one, Jesus, and showed him that that little one would one day bring salvation. Not just, he says, not just to the people of Israel. He says, this baby, this Savior will be a light to the Gentiles. Simeon knew before anybody knew that Jesus had come for everyone, including you and me, that this Jesus was a Savior for everyone. And then he turns to Mary, and he has some words for Mary, and he says, this little one is appointed for the rise and fall of many in Israel. Now it's kind of a puzzle to figure out. What does that mean? Well, we know what it means when we read it now. That Jesus as Savior, Jesus as the one lifted up on the cross, caused many of the lowly to be lifted up, and many who were thought themselves to be on high to come tumbling down. Then he has words that no mother would ever want to hear. And he says, a sword will pierce your soul also. Foreshadowing that Mary would stand at the foot of the cross as she watched her son Jesus die. She didn't know that. She didn't know what it meant until she stood there at the cross, heartbroken for her son, her child, the one on the cross. To tell the story of Simeon is to tell the story of the whole of Israel that had long awaited the Savior. To tell the story of Simeon is really to tell our story, because we're waiting too. we've been promised that Jesus will return. He said so himself. His word says so. He will return one day, and we, like Simeon, have heard that promise. And we wait. And we wait. And we wait. As devout and righteous people, us, maybe, sometimes more devout than others, sometimes more righteous than others. But when it comes to God, he sees us through his Son who was sacrificed on the cross, and he sees us as righteous people. Not righteous because what we do, but righteous because of what we believe, what we are waiting for, that hope, that same hope that Simeon has. We are waiting for the salvation for the entire world. That's why we sing the Nunc Dimittis at funerals, because that person who had lived waiting for the return of Christ could now finally depart in peace, because who was that person seeing and who was that person with but Christ himself? That person could truly depart in peace. And that's the hope we have, that we will too depart in peace, trusting in God's word. So to tell the story of Simeon is to sing a song that we sing, that is about our waiting and our hope and our trust. Now, to tell the story of Anna, we are lacking some details. We don't want to fill in the blanks, because that's always dangerous when it comes to Scripture. Because when we fill in the blanks, we get it wrong. So we will leave the blanks where they are. But to tell the story of Anna is to tell the story of another devout person who had waited and waited and waited. She was 84, a widow, for a very long time. She came to the temple every day. She remained in the temple, it said, night and day. She prayed, she worshiped, she fasted. She was devout. But something happened that day when Mary and Joseph came in. Something changed. She became no longer a pious prophetess, but an elderly evangelist. She saw the little one, and she began to tell everyone who was waiting for the Messiah, everyone who was waiting for the hope of Israel, everyone who was waiting for salvation, she began to tell everyone who was willing to listen that little one was he. Jesus was the salvation. The little one? How many of us have had and have hopes and dreams for our little ones? We all do. We all have hopes and dreams that our little ones are going to do something amazing, be somebody amazing. I don't think that any of us hopes and dreams that our little ones are going to be the Messiah. At least I hope not. And if we are, then we need to talk. We'll make an appointment. We'll come in. Because that job's already been taken. But we do have hopes and dreams. And Anna saw that hope. She saw that dream. She saw the baby. She saw the little one, the little Jesus, the Messiah to come, and she told everyone. It's like she had that bumper sticker Let me tell you about my grandkids. She knew people would want to hear. She knew people would want to know. She had become that evangelist, the one to share the good news with anyone who would listen, to tell the story of Anna is hopefully to tell our story as well. Because we have that same hope. We have that same excitement. We have that same promise that one day soon that Messiah will come and restore all things and make all things new and bring us all together and gather his sheep. We have those promises. So our bumper sticker maybe should read, "Let me tell you about Jesus." No one will park by you if you have that bumper sticker. But that's okay. That's who we are. We're people of hope. We're people who have been given the promise. We're people who have been given the Spirit to speak the words, to share the story. And you have a story to tell. Each one of you has a story to tell. I can't tell it. There's too many gaps missing, and I'm not going to fill in the gaps because I would get it wrong. Each of you has a story to tell. And I would encourage you, don't wait for your funeral to tell your story. Because if you do, somebody else is going to have to fill in the gaps, and they may get it wrong. Start telling your story now. Tell your story to anyone who will listen. Write your story down. And I mean, really, write it down. People for generations will thank you for that. You may not think that your story is important. You may not think that your story has any real significance. I don't know that Simeon or Anna ever thought theirs did either. But we still sing Simeon's song. Every Sunday, when we sing the Nunc Dimittis, we sing Simeon's song. Who knew? He didn't. Tell your story. Tell the story of the Savior that you're waiting for. Tell the story of how long you've been waiting and what you've been doing while you've been waiting. Write it down. Share it. Others will thank you. There's an old Sunday school song that I think I wish would have made it into our hymnal, but it didn't. And it goes like this. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. And you can go on and sing more. Tell the story of sinners saved, of those washed in baptism, of those fed in the supper. Tell the story. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.